Welcome to the Courageous Nation podcast, where every week we have a meaningful conversation that inspires you to live courageously. I'm your host, Lance Merkey, and I'm here with your life coaches, Mandy and Rachel from Big Blue Couch Coaching. Hey, we're back.
Hey. We are back.
Yes. I'm excited.
Season two.
Season two.
How exciting.
It's been
so exciting.
It's been a long summer.
It kind of has.
I mean, kind of, actually not really.
Yeah,
I take that back.
How long did we take a break for? It was like 8 weeks? Something like that. It was wild.
I've missed it. It's been
too.
A lot of fun, and we've spent the last 40 minutes laughing.
Trying to figure out how to podcast started again.
Trying to do it, yeah.
Nate had a whole new idea for Rachel in this podcast system. And so Rachel has a different microphone than normal.
Yep.
And around it, if I could just paint this picture for you, around it is what is called the cone of silence.
Yes.
Which is basically just foam. Like a long piece of foam.
Foam
that
and tape.
Was turned into a circular
cone shape.
It's not really a cone.
This is actually the miniature version of the cone of silence.
Yes.
But as you hopefully can hear, Rachel's voice is more clear.
So since we can't fix Rachel's voice in real life, we came up with the cone of silence.
I now talk into this thing, this styrofoam thing.
We've got two of them. We've got a giant one. This is the baby one.
Yep. So if you guys can see what is happening in the podcast room, this has created a lot of laughs.
And we're going to try to make that happen someday so that you can see it.
Yeah, I think at some point in this season, we will figure out how to live video this on Facebook the day we actually record it.
And then laugh. You can laugh along with us.
Yes. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
We're doing that for the Unbroken coaching program that starts tonight.
We could live record all of the things that we talk about before we actually hit record on the
Yeah, we should podcast. Actually, you know, real quick, we should talk about how awesome that is.
Because that's where all the funny magic happens.
How tonight, going on tonight?
The Unbroken coaching program.
It's launching tonight, which is crazy. We have never had a coaching program with this many women in it, first of all. And then it's the first time we're launching anything where we have a live.
Well, actually, we should say tonight, June 27th.
That's true.
Because So when you're actually listening to this, it won't be
tonight.
Right.
It'll be last week.
And also, there's no tickets left. So when you're listening to it, I'm sorry.
You can't get it anymore.
We're just really excited about it.
It's happening.
Yeah, well, and it's going to be awesome.
It's the first time we're ever combining live participants with virtual seating at the same time, which went like crazy wildfire. We were just really surprised at how quickly the virtual tickets sold out. We had to actually open up more virtual spots because they did sell out one time. And that's the beauty about virtual spots is you don't have to put them in a certain space. Because if you've ever been in our headquarters here, which most of you probably haven't, but literally by like 25 women is a stretch. Mandy likes to shove 30 women.
Okay, I did that once
before into our little conference.
We did it one time.
We were
it worked
real
well.
Happy about it.
So one time constitutes Mandy likes to shove women.
Well,
into
this is what happened. The first Celebrate Your Band workshop we ever did, it sold out.
Oh, okay.
And then there were people who wanted to get in like that day or whatever, and they were coming to the door to get tickets. And you feel really bad when people come to the door. And we actually did have to tell somebody.
We did have to turn them away.
Oh, bummer.
We had to turn
somebody
away.
We had 30 people in this little conference room that is really only made for maybe 15.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, gosh.
So,
I mean, because there's classroom tables. We took all the tables out.
Yep.
Which the reason why we're not going to do this anymore is more because. Not so much that it's uncomfortable to sit in there for all day, because if we do shorter events, it's not a big deal.
No.
It's a lot of work to get those tables out of that room that's up steps.
Right.
And then figure out how to fit all these women in there. And
plus,
it was just an experience.
Plus, when you've got workbooks and books and things that they're writing, it's hard to not have the tables.
So now the virtual world.
So now we can have like a shorter... Not shorter people. That's not the word I'm looking for.
We can have short and tall people.
Don't worry about your height. We'll take you.
All heights are welcome. We can have a smaller crowd at the live.
That's the word we're looking for.
That's like, awesome.
Rachel's going to take a nap today before she teaches tonight. So we're pretty excited. And the thing is, we put them in a private Facebook group. And so with Facebook Live, that opened up the availability where now we can actually live video feed what's happening here.
That's awesome. So in the future, if we do another live event, is it Is it going to be on Big Blue Couch's Facebook page? Like if someone could go?
Nope. It's in a private Facebook group because they have to purchase a ticket to be a part of it.
The next time that we'll be doing another virtual event will be this fall when we do
a mini retreat.
Oh, yeah.
So we're kind of thinking from this point on, because it went so well, that virtual tickets will probably be available for almost everything we do, but probably not the conference, because that's something you do need to experience.
So if you're a Courageous Nation listener, become a Facebook friend. Yeah. And a Facebook group.
Now you can be a part of this no matter where you live.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would be awesome. We would love to see you there. And season two. So here we go.
Yes.
Episode one, we titled Unite and Conquer. And we called it that today because I think a lot of you, like us, watched a lot of events unfold this summer. And we really felt a divide in our culture. Mm-hmm. We really felt like an axe coming down. And I feel like we need some more unity. You know, you hear the phrase divide and conquer, which is an awesome phrase if you're a business leader.
We use that here a lot.
But when you're trying to bring cultures together to conquer racism, to conquer any of those things, we need to unite.
Terrorism.
Yep. And I think when we all three came in to decide what season two was going to be, when we decided what we wanted to talk about, this was the subject that was all on our minds. And I think a lot of you listening, it's on your minds too. So we're going to have some questions for the girls. We're going to have some discussions. And hopefully, if there's something that we talk about that sparks you or sparks an anger or any response, that's good. I actually like that. And but have an open mind when we're talking about this, too, because the best thing that we all can do is talk, is have a discussion, start a discussion, learn about new things, not be afraid of new things. If you're afraid of new things, do them anyway. Those are the types of things that are really going to see some change. So the first question is the bomb drop. What are the biggest social divides we see in America in 2016, Rachel?
Well, this summer has been, I mean, it's even hard to put a word around it because it's just been kind of one thing after another, whether it's the racial divide that we're seeing in our country, whether or not this is like a new level of racial divide, or we're finally just seeing it for what it really is. We're seeing a lot of things with like terrorism type stuff happening. I mean, just this week, that horrible thing happened in France with the elderly priest and ISIS and all this stuff. It's just all over the place. And it's been an overwhelming summer, I bet, for a lot of you guys watching this, because it's been hard. If you're on social media at all, if you watch the news at all, you'll see it. But we're not only mixing that in with also an election year. And I think anytime there's an election year, there starts to become kind of a divide. That's probably always there, but it's just more apparent. And mixing that with the racial divides that are happening this last summer or this in the last couple of months, I think it's just a hard place to be right now and how to know what the next step is now that we see the problem, what do we do next?
Yeah, definitely. Mandy, how about you?
I think, well, the first thing that I think about when I hear everything that's happening and just as we were getting ready to talk about this, because it is a very serious topic and we want to be bringing some more of that in to the podcast this season because we want to encourage other people to have those conversations.
Yep.
And one of the things that I think for me, we live in North Dakota. And that's our base here for Big Blue Couch Coaching and the Courageous Nation podcast. And I've lived in North Dakota my entire life. And it's only recently in the last few decades where it's become more of a melting pot when it comes to different cultures and different races. Yep. And that's not something that I grew up with. And it's not necessarily something that I was taught well through the years, if I can say that. And so I think for me, when I see these things pop up, I don't know what to say because I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I think there's a lot of people who feel that way. Like, it's important, and to be able to take a step back and realize that these social and racial divides, they're there. They're all across the nation. There's different parts of the nation that feel them maybe a little more heavily on a daily basis than other parts.
Right.
But it's becoming more of a thing that happens everywhere. I mean, what happened in Minnesota over the summer, that's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from where we live. Yep. And so it's becoming something that is more near to us here in North Dakota.
Right.
And I think what it's doing is it's giving us an opportunity to have a conversation.
Yeah. And absolutely. Rachel, I think it was cool when you brought up, is this, are we seeing, like, is it elevated from other times? Because when you read about like the 60s and what was going on then, it almost feels like it parallels that a lot. But are we at an advantageous place where social media and technology helps because we can actually now see firsthand what's happening? Is that something that...
Well, and I think that it's a mixed pot of blessing and not blessing when it comes to social media, because we can see these things happening in real time. And I brought this up with my husband. I think it was after Houston and all the things that happened in that... Is it Houston?
Dallas.
There you go. I'm sorry. After that happened, and I was talking about how, you know, when racial divides happen, like when the Holocaust happened, or when some of those things, I have a hard time.
That's okay. You're doing okay.
And I keep hitting it.
No, you're doing good.
I often wonder that if people had known what was happening, like we have a way of knowing now, would that have changed the outcome? Because when you read about these kinds of things happening in history, that's where you see the things like Underground Railroad pop up. That's where you see things like, you know, families being hidden in Germany and all of that, Jewish families being hidden, because when people saw the issue, they responded. And I think a lot of times we were left in a comfort zone of not knowing what was happening and pretending like it didn't, you know, it didn't affect us because it wasn't here. And I think we no longer get that luxury anymore when it comes to social media, when it comes to these things that literally some of them have been, these tragic things have been, you know, live broadcasted, and that would never have happened. You know, even 5 years ago, for that to be an option. And I think that gives us both, like I said, mixed blessings on that, because we can no longer say we don't know.
Yeah.
And I really think when it comes to the racial divide and the lack of unity, I don't think it's new. I don't think that this is like just some new level that we were like, oh my goodness, who knew we had racial conflict? It's really interesting because there are a lot of people who are like, racism was, or, you know, slavery was abolished however many years ago, and why don't we just all get over it? And I'm like, do you remember the 60s and the 70s? Right. And it's really interesting to watch how people respond to this. But I think as people who are Christians, people who have some level of faith and some level of justice and speaking for those who can't speak for themselves, I think we are called to say something. Mm-hmm. We are called to respond even if we don't know what words to say. Just having conversations like this is kind of how we are responding to it. Because if we can talk about it, then that means we can spark a conversation for somebody else to talk about it.
Yep.
But I want to bring up something about what to say, because I've seen a lot of Christians, and I did this at first too, because I didn't know how to word it. And then I went back and reworded it because the way it came out wasn't what I meant. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of Christians that see these things happen and they're just like, well, we need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. Mm-hmm. Come back, Jesus. Okay. Yes. We need Jesus. We need him in our lives. But what does that look like? Right. What does that mean? And how does that transfer into an applicable action in a time like that? Because just saying, well, we need Jesus, that's not going to fix
anything. That's not an answer that anybody wants to hear sometimes.
Right, and it's definitely not going to help somebody who is going through these real situations. It's not going to help them feel better.
Yep.
I know when we were preparing for this, we were kind of talking about all the different things that we saw on social media within the few days that all of these shootings and different things were happening. And I found myself watching some videos of several black men that wrote videos about how they're afraid every single day because of what's happening, and how they're afraid because they might not act in the right way. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it might be taken the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And that could get them killed. And that is a very real fear that they have. And watching that and seeing several people say similar things like that just made me take a step back and be like, wow, first of all, I am like the whitest white girl you will probably know. And I am probably a privileged individual in society because of that. I won't know some of these struggles unless I ask.
Right. Yeah.
Unless I choose to put myself in other people's shoes and try to gain some understanding and some compassion for them instead of being fearful and just like, get over it. You need Jesus. Move on.
Right. Yeah.
Plus, oh, I'm sorry. Were you done?
Okay. That's it.
I was going to say, doesn't that kind of just take out all of our responsibility too?
It does.
Just to be like, oh, Jesus needs to come back and fix this. How about Jesus needs you to fix it? Like,
right.
You know, I mean, he put us all here for a reason during the time that we are here. And I think sometimes we forget that these racial divides and all these things, when Jesus came to earth,
they were there.
It was kind of an environment.
Yeah,
and probably even more as far as like the difference between, you know, like women and men, like women back then were property and children were property. And so he came into a society where there was a lot of racial divide. There was clearly a lot of religious divide. There was a lot of different things happening that are not very dissimilar from what is happening right now. And that was not, I mean, he did what he did in those 30 years. And since then, it's kind of been up to us. And I think that's that church answer that kind of makes everybody a little bit irritated.
Yes.
Well, it's like, we just need to pray about it. And we just need Jesus.
Oh,
absolutely.
We need to be the Jesus.
We need to pray to Jesus for wisdom.
I heard Rob Bell talk one time and he said, you know, it's funny when people pray that God feeds the hungry, but then they don't go out and feed the hungry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the same thing is with this. Don't pray for racial harmony if you're not going to be willing to go to your neighbor and talk to him about being harmonious with them.
Right.
You
right.
have to be the Jesus. So this next question we have is really interesting, and it might make people upset. So there's that. What do you think when you hear the phrase, you know, we need to teach people, we need to teach our children not to see color? How is that? Is that something that is valuable? Like, should we teach people that we're all the same color? We're all there's one race, the human race, or should we look at it from a different angle and say, well, why don't we just embrace the difference?
Well, okay. Before we've had this conversation recently, I would have said, yes, let's do that. Let's just, we're all human beings.
Right.
We should all recognize the humanity in each other and be compassionate and blah, blah, blah. But I think Rachel brought up a really interesting point that I know she wants to share on this episode. And before she goes into it, I think that the best thing that we can always do, no matter what we think about a situation, is to really sit here and think, well, why don't I agree with the opposite side of that? And what can I gain from that? Because that's how we grow, and that's how we kind of heal some wounds instead of just putting Band-Aids over things. So I used to think this was a great thing, but Rachel has a different view, and I love it.
I have to be honest, too. I kind of did, too. I thought that was like, oh, yeah, let's teach our children that. But then
is that because we have white children?
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Maybe.
So here's...
My child is multicolored fur.
Embrace all of
She's a dog.
The different fur babies. Okay, yes. So I have so many thoughts on this question.
Take
and honestly, honestly, for you guys listening, we will probably not... This will probably not be the only time we talk about this in season
probably
two. Because the thing that we really want to change a little bit from season one to season two is start talking about these things that maybe we don't talk about in our churches. And maybe we don't talk about at the dining room table. And that's probably the problem. That we don't talk about these things. So, okay, so this whole idea of that we raise our children to not see color, I think I thought that was a good idea for a really long time, too. And I think sometimes that is the people who are Caucasian descent, I think that's our answer, because we don't know what to say. So that's an easy thing to live when you are the Caucasian person.
Right.
And honestly, we do live in a country where there is white privilege. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are clearly seeing a divide and we cannot deny that. So one of the things, though, that happened this summer, and I don't remember, I think it was after the Minnesota shooting. I have a friend of mine from high school who married a black man and has mixed children. And she posted a picture of her son who looks so similar to the gentleman that was killed in Minnesota and said, this could have been my son. And that got me thinking, because about 5 minutes later, as I was scrolling through Facebook, I saw another woman post this thing. And the title was written to the white parents. No, to the parents of the white friends of my black child. Mm. And my oldest, one of her best friends is black, and she, her daddy is actually in Africa, trying to get to this country legally. And her mama is here, and they raise the kids here. And that was something. And so when I saw that headline, I clicked on it, and I started reading through the article. And the article was from a mom who was a white mother and then had a black child. And her whole heart was, we need to stop teaching our children, especially our white children, to no longer see color, because what we're doing is we're denying the fact that there really is a difference. Mm. And she was talking about how when you have children who have mixed friends, first of all, to embrace that, because God did make us all different for a reason. If he wanted us all Caucasian or all black or all brown, he would have made us all that color.
Yep.
So what she was saying, though, is when you deny the fact that my child will probably be treated differently than your child, that sets your child up for failure. And it also sets my child up for failure. And what she was talking about is if there would be something that would happen, like, you know, teens get into trouble all the time. And I think she was using curfew.
Okay.
As an example. And if your child is walking down the street with my child and they're out past curfew, you need to teach your child that if a cop would stop you, there's a different way that they might handle my child from the way they handle your child or anything like that. And being from North Dakota here, like Mandy was saying, it's not as common for us to be as mixed racially. It's very much a Eastern European descent of people here.
Yep.
But I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about the fact that my daughter has a black girl that is her best friend. What kind of things will she see as they grow up? What kind of things has she already seen? And they're only 10 that I maybe have never talked to her about.
Mm-hmm.
That it just kind of opened my eyes to, when there is a racial divide, are we doing our kids a disservice when we're like, everybody is the same, we're all the human race, and all lives matter, and all the things. Is that as dangerous as saying, well, we just need Jesus to come back, or we just need to pray about it? Mm. And I think that has been a big change in my shift of thinking. A big shift in my thinking this summer was that whole idea of, is that the right answer, is to teach us to no longer see color? Because is it helpful or is it harmful?
Why, as a human race, though, are we so afraid of people that are different?
I don't know.
We are all different.
Yep.
Well, we have, in North Dakota, we may not have a large African-American population, but we do have a large Native American population.
Yes, we do.
And that has always been a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And as Rachel and I are fortunate, we are part Oneida Indian. And so we have that background, and we've been involved in powwows and things like that. But there is definitely racial discord in Bismarck as far as Native American population and white population.
Yes.
So we still see that on a daily basis too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that applies what this mother was writing about can apply to just all cultures.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's an awesome way of thinking, and it's cool to that she really put that out there and was able to, you know, and that, even just that, thinking about what your children, if they have a friend who's a different race, is progress to me, because it's young. Because I don't think we had any.
I've been trying to think. I mean, besides
friends growing,
we would have Native. You know, we have Native American children in our school.
Yeah.
And we were Native American, but I can't remember having a black child in my grade school. Do you, Mandy?
I went to a tiny little school.
And that's not because we have segregation in North Dakota. For anybody listening, that might
makes
be
it
like,
sound like,
we've never been to North Dakota. It's literally just that white out here, people. It really is.
Mm-hmm. I think I had maybe five people in the whole school that were different races between... I think there might have been one or two that were Indian, and then also maybe a few that were black, but not very many.
Right.
And I think, you know, they were all a lot younger than me, so I don't really know who some of them were. And I'm probably making myself sound really stupid and snobby by saying that, but I was kind of one of those people where I didn't really notice color because I just am friendly with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things I've had to learn as I grow up is just to be aware that this is a real thing. I mean, How long were we friends before I was like, oh, you're part Native American? Like, that news to me.
Right.
I didn't know that until a couple, like, five, six years ago.
That's probably a whole nother episode sometime, right. Talking about Lance and I and how we've actually felt racism as being part of the Native American culture. Because honestly, the Native American culture didn't come into our lives until not that long ago, because we weren't really raised to be a part of that culture because of the way my dad was raised. And it wasn't until he was actually divorced from my mom and kind of had gone through some of his own life experiences as an adult that he decided he wanted to embrace that side of his heritage. And we got to come along for the ride of that. So we didn't grow up with that same feeling of being like proud of your Native American heritage. It's a little different.
But I've learned so much just from watching you kind of go through that and embrace that part of your heritage. And it's really made me stop and think like, oh, okay, like really get to know different cultures instead of being so afraid of them.
Well, yeah, one of the things
Really awesome. And our dad has really been such an awesome advocate for both of us to be able to go and do that. And if you're in the North Dakota area, the United Tribes Powwow is one of the best ones to go to experience a different culture. You might be scared. You really might. I mean, it's loud and you're like, what is going on here? But if you ask questions and you go with an open mind, you're going to leave being like, wow, that was really cool. That was a cool experience that I got to see.
Don't you think for people who maybe are growing up in the same kind of environment that we have, like especially Midwest, I think when you get to the East Coast, West Coast, South, it's a little bit more mixed, but in the Midwest, it is pretty white out here.
It is.
And I think we have to purposely look for ways to put ourselves into other cultures. And I think everybody needs to experience that, what it feels like when you are the minority. And in this community, if you live in North Dakota, that's the culture we can embrace here. We have a lot of other cultures moving in, but right now that's the one where we could take some steps and start to learn some different things about that culture and start to embrace different people. And we I think we do need to look for opportunities. I mean, you were saying that earlier, just going and talking to your neighbor that might be a different color and reaching out to those people.
And that goes actually right into our next question. What does real change look like? On Facebook earlier this week, the BLM, the Black Lives Matter protest movement, gets a large bad rap. And you know, whatever. We'll just not even talk about that. But I saw a video of them having a protest movement, and it turned into a barbecue with white police officers. And they like they had cordial conversations with each other.
Isn't that a movement that's where
I'm not sure if there's an actual name, but I know
that there is now, because this is starting to happen more often, where the cops are getting together with the people who are doing these BLM different.
And there was also another one that I saw. My memory is gone of where it was, but there was another protest and then a group of protesters that were there to actually protest the protest. And both groups came together in the middle of a road and their leaders talked it out. And then they came and like hugged each other. And at the very end, they made a huge circle and prayed for each other.
Right. See, now that is that's being Jesus.
That was like, one of the greatest videos that I've seen. And there was real hope there.
Right.
And those are the kinds of things that I would hope that leaders in higher places see that and encourage that. I think there is value to protest and there is value to protest, those sorts of things. But when you come together and you're able to meet and agree on things, that is, to me, that is real change.
And I think that's where maybe this idea of we don't see color comes in, because I think we forget we have more in common than we have that divides us. And that's probably maybe the heart or the meaning behind, oh, you know, this is the human race. Because we all have things as the human race that actually draw us closer than we realize than that divide. And maybe that's where we need to be putting that thought behind instead of just being like, well, your color doesn't matter. Well, it clearly does, because God created you that color. It should matter just as much as like whether or not you're a boy or a girl matters, or what color of your, you know, what color your eyes are. That all matters. God picked that out from the time you were created in your mama's womb.
That's actually really good to that question.
It does matter.
Because the whole creation part almost loses its amazingness when you take away. Because what if we were like, well, it doesn't matter that I'm white? Well, yeah, it does.
It does.
So that's good.
I think, though, to break it down even more to those listeners who are like, okay, well, this all sounds great, but how? Mm-hmm. How do I start to be the change? And so a couple things that I would suggest is, okay, if you are in a group of people, whether it's family, friends, work environment, whatever, and they start bashing other races or other cultures, step away from the conversation. Mm. Don't even sit there and try to get them to stop saying it, because they most likely they won't. But remove yourself from that and start taking a stand for you first, that you're not going to talk that way. Mm. And then you might find that down the road, there will be a moment where you can say, you know, I don't really like the fact that we talk like this about other people, because they're people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have issues that we know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I would say is start challenging yourself to smile and look people in the eye when they are of a different race than you. I mean, we have in our apartment complex, we have a melting pot of people that have moved in over the years since we've lived there. And I've noticed that I want to challenge myself to smile at them, to say hi, because if you start treating them the way you would anybody else, that's an easy thing that you can do, where maybe you don't know them well yet because you're not, you know, in a spot where you can talk a lot, and maybe getting outside of your comfort zone to talk to people is just too much for you right now. But start smiling at them. When people smile at other people and they look them in the eye, you have no idea the difference that makes.
Well, and I think one of the big things behind the Black Lives Matter movement is that they feel invisible.
Right.
They feel like we don't see what is happening on a daily basis for them. And something so simple, like you're saying, Mandy, is look at people, smile at people, acknowledge people, and that is any color. No matter who is walking beside you, we kind of live in a bubble where we're like, if it doesn't matter to me or it doesn't affect me personally, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't think we have the privilege to say that or feel that or act that way anymore.
But the other thing too is, Rachel, I want you to share what you posted on Facebook, because this is another way that you can, this is another example of what real change really does look like.
Right. Okay. So I posted this thing on Facebook. I was actually sitting in my chair that I have in the corner of my bedroom. It's kind of like my quiet corner. And everybody was sleeping. It was late. And it was about the time that, oh gosh, what was happening?
I think it was the one in Minnesota.
It was that?
It was all of it.
It all happened within about 24 hours. Yep. And I was actually on Twitter because, you know, if you want to know all the things that are going on for real, you're on Twitter, because it happens a little more quickly and people are not shy about sharing both sides of any issue that's happening. And so I was watching this all unfold on Twitter, and I was just in tears as I'm watching what is happening and reading what is happening, and everybody is asleep, and I'm just like, it's just me and my feelings, and I just don't know what to do here. And I felt like, because we have a public platform, I think we all, when you have one, you have to decide on how you're going to respond to something, if you're going to respond to something or not. And I just felt like I needed to say something on our public Facebook page, and I didn't know what to say. And this is what I ended up saying, is this. And I said, I can't sleep and I'm in tears. All I can do is throw my hands up and say, enough. It needs to stop. We are a country that is hemorrhaging because of racism, intolerance, fear, and generational wounds. We can't stay silent anymore, and we can't turn a blind eye. Jesus was not silent about social and racial injustice, and I sure as hell won't be silent either. When I get upset, I swear sometimes. Because sometimes there's no other words to explain it. And I said, I don't have the answers to fix this awful mess. And I think sometimes that is a first step, to say you don't have the answers. Second, I said, but I do know we need to be women of prayer and action to turn things around. Men too. We stand in the gap. We speak for truth. We don't turn away. And we acknowledge our own prejudices. We mourn for every life lost because of hate. We ask for forgiveness. We start in our own homes, and we start tonight. Even if all we do is lift our voices and say, we see you and we weep with you.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful. I like that. And I want to just share, and it actually just kind of goes along with that, is a verse from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17 says, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow. If you need any more words than that to know that your voice is a voice that matters too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's awesome, Rachel, when you say, you know what? Maybe I don't have the answer, but acknowledging that you don't have the answer is better than not saying anything
at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And simply saying, we see you and we cry with you. We're there with you. Mm-hmm. We want to be together in this struggle with you is super powerful. Yeah. And I like that a lot. And I really hope you've enjoyed this episode. I think we are going to, in future weeks, discuss this more, mm-hmm. talk about things that are going on in a real matter. And this is all really close to all of our hearts. And I hope that that passion has come through today. Yep. In episode 1 of season 2, I hope that you're excited about what season 2 is going to bring, because I already am, and we're only in episode 1. So I cannot wait what the next episodes are going to bring. Mandy, do you want to say anything really quick?
I'm really excited for this new focus of having meaningful conversations. Of course, we will be our quirky selves.
Yeah, there's,
because we just can't help it.
Right, there's that's
and we'll lighten it up a bit. But it's important.
We all like pop culture still, right. So that's going to be part of it.
So, but how do you influence and inspire people to rise up as a courageous nation if you're not going to talk about these topics?
Exactly,
you
exactly.
can't. So I'm actually really excited to do that. So that's all I've got to say.
Yay! So we just want to thank you for tuning in. And real quick, we would appreciate your help. If you could do us a favor before you go, just take a few seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. And that way more people can get this content. So until next time, let's rise up and build a courageous nation together.